ideas when we get to Az HaLevonin. So we speak about some of the great people in Chur Meiropa, it's closest to us. I want to speak about somebody today different than the ones we spoke about last time. Let's give a little bit of background. Poland, in the turn of the century, till the war, World War I, and then the war, we think of Poland as being a hotbed of Chassidus, Yiddishkeit, wonderful. The sad truth was that Poland was falling apart. The Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, once said, "Ech elel avi v'nar nene iti." Pasuk. How can I go up to Shemayim when I know I don't have the youth with me anymore? Not with me. There was an elderly gentleman where I grew up, Lower East Side, whose father was one of the three or four chshuvim in Ger. And he never visited him. And he told my father, I can't visit him. He's ashamed of me. He was a frum person, this person, but marginally. And he told my father, he said, you know, we were kids, we'd run around the shtiebel, and they would toss us out. They would give us a patch and tell us to get lost. And he said, at some point we took their advice. My own family, from my mother's side, my grandfather was Spadik, and to the best of my knowledge, all the kids were diehard communists, Buddhists, and so on. That was the story. It was, for many reasons, whether it was the poverty, whether there was a lack of the ability to reach into that door. There was powerful movements of social justice built on real tightness. It was a terrible, terrible tkufa, and it accelerated between the wars. And into that matzav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a very bright light. In about 1890, a child was born he was a Rebbe's son. His father, I think, must have been about 70 when he had him. His father, and he was a grandson of the Chayzer and Rebbe Elmalchon Lizensk and a whole bunch of the Marv Shemesh. There was Koznitz there. It was a mixture of some of the finest Shroshim. And his child was born. His name was Clonimus Kalman, after his grandfather, great grandfather Marv Shemesh. When he was three, he became a Yasin from his father. He grew up. He was an Ilui. He wrote a big Seif on Shabbos, which was lost. He wrote a big Chib on the Zoya, which was lost. He wrote, he was gifted in many other ways. He was able actually, he wrote prescriptions in Latin and people could get them filled. He was an extraordinary person, mitzad his knowledge and so on. At the age, but what characterized him more than anything else was his fire. There was a fire that burnt in him that was incredible. And his pedagogical pikchus in understanding people. At the age of 17, he got married, and his shver took him in as a son. Shver was a very important influence on his life. And his shver was nifta 3 years later, 4 years later. At the age of 20, he became a rebbe. A small town called Piasatsna, small town near Warsaw. After World War I, he stayed in Piasatsna as the Rav, as a Rebbe, but most of his activity was in Warsaw, which was the center of Polish Jewry, and he was recognized by everyone. especially as Koiches, he opened up first yeshiva that had a real tzura. It had a kav of chinuch. Used to be Stieblach and Kloisen. And it was extraordinary in his ability to reach people, to understand people, and more than anyone else, to understand young Talmidim. Let's read a little bit. He wrote a sefer, a small sefer, which later became extremely popular, and then B'Shaita also, and it's called Chavas HaTalmidim. It's a sefer of hadracha for Talmidim and for Rebbes. It's not every part is something that we can adapt. It's a certain kudas for the very chassidish chinuch, but it's a revolution in understanding what, when, and where. He starts out with the understanding, and he says, this is his akdama. He says, before I'm speaking to the boys, I want to speak with the melamdim, and I want to speak with the parents. He said, chinuch is not about forcing a child to do anything. Chinuch is not even about training somebody. Chinuch is about starting somebody at the point one, helping him start, and then he'll go off himself. He says, chinuch is legadol ulfateach estivo vachshorosa shal hayelet shenimtzeboi b'mida b'ktano b'koyach b'hel mevad. Chinuch is to develop in a child his nature, his abilities, his talents, ulegaloisa, and to find them. V'kivon she'isha yisraeli ol b'yaldusoi ruach Hashem nishma shakai t'muno gnuzeboi. Because a yid, even when he's a child, has a nishmas Hashem, tzichim legadlu ulechanech oisei leitzir legayis aficho. Person needs to sit and see in front of him a neshama and his obligation to bring it out. V'alze tzivu shal melech chanoich lenar techancho el kir boi tachter, penetrate his neshama, v'al kdushas yisrael asher boi behelem tegale, and reveal the hidden kdusha of Yisrael that's in him. And then Oski Yaskin Layaski. He says, and therefore he says, it's not, he says, HaMetzave V'Amar L'Vad, if you just teach a child and train him, if you tell him what to do, you don't have to pay attention, you don't have to know what his talents are. That's not chinuch. He says, not all children are the same. And he says like this, he says, if a child and a father who just stand there pounding into him what they think is Yiras Shamayim and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, they are being choyte to him and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, there is no inborn trait that is bad. A child who's stubborn, if you will focus his stubbornness, Favoris Hashem, you will have a very, very strong yid. A person who's a balkas is a person with passionate beliefs. And if you know how to focus and channel it, you will have an Hashem on fire. He says, do you understand, when you look at a child's bad tchunas, instead of saying how bad he is, if you say, wow, what could be made of it, what could come of it, don't you understand how much good you would do? And listen to what he says. My heart cries out. I look at the young generation. Where's the young daughter disappearing to? They're disappearing. They despise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hate Klal Yisrael. The Rosh Yeshivas and who run yeshivas, all they look for is mitzion. They have misnachmim loyma, They say, no, hein emes sheshata b'chavshin, there's a lot of problems. Avloi alman Yisrael, Klai Yisrael's, gambanit sim siyon halacha v'mashem levov anutzam, there are a lot of very fine bachrim. Look around the yeshiva, very fine bachrim. So he says, Yeshitu no elos roisham chutz me arba amas sheveseyem. Stick your head out of the dal ramas of the yeshiva. V'yirna samoyna god lachavshach matzam. Take a look in the street. You have 30 bachrim sitting here, dveikas there with long payas. Put your head out in Warsaw, the main street, count how many yarmulkes you can see. What are you talking about? Tzur nismala mechabana shalayim. The world of Ra is the communist cells are filled from the yeshiva, from yeshiva bachim. But the medrash shalayim at lein b'tayin is reikna. V'tachtom nismalo agudas chaburah shalas and kafirim musas terech mansan. Where did it all come from? They came from Bati Medrashim. Af balamocha sochim, not the intelligentsia and the intellectuals. These be erlich yidden, and now they're gone. Vayim gam b'talmidish v'senek var b'tuchim anu. Are we certain, that so certain that the Talmidim are fixed for life? Did we do what we needed to do? Meili says, okay, so the person who's already Meir Ro, let's say that. But every other one, when they leave the yeshiva, are you so sure they're going to stay from? Bechlali says, Urgilim habla b'nei anor ha-miskapa, we look at the young people that are leaving the fold. Kilu rak heim Hashem b'dova v'negam nekiyim. They're the ones that it's their problem. They're bad kids. We're great. It's is it their problem or our problem? He says we're the ones who have the tafkid given over. Are they the purely guilty? Are they not children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with neshamis? Why do we fool ourselves in saying we're trying our best, but they're not being makabel. He says, as bad and as problematic as they have, but if we would have the way to be mashpia, we would be able to be mashpia to them as well. And then he goes into it, what you have to do, and he says, and I want to read the first few lines, maybe, of the Sefer itself. And he goes through what he feels are the important points of chinuch and so on. But this is at a tkufa. I want you to understand when learning, when chinuch meant taking a stick, mental or verbal, and knocking in good into a child, Yerushalayim, whatever it is. And a sefer that was given to a child to be madachim usually was of the genre of you don't know how hot Gehenim is and how bad you'll burn and how little you are and how nothing you are. That was the genre of it. One of my uncles who became fry told me that the Maccabi Patrick was, he asked a question, it was an innocent question, and the Rebbe gave him a big smack and said, we don't ask such questions. And so he didn't. He never asked that question again. He just left. He had his teretz on the spot. Let's listen. This is, listen to how he starts his sefer to a young Siddush Bachrol of Bar Mitzvah age. Ashrecha na Yisrael, v'ashrei chelkecha. Ashrecha, you're so fortunate. Es ha-teira oir Hashem luma zechisa. You're zeicha to learn Torah. V'liyeis ben Shashua ben Rechumo, and you've become a Kadosh Baruch Hu's loved one. Malachi elyonikan ucha v'kerucha. Malachim are jealous of you. Shemayim and Oretz are waiting for you. And everyone wants to know who is this child who's learning. Beira oilam sameach b'cha. A Kadosh Baruch Hu's happy with you. V'gam ato na Yisrael togel v'tismach b'goyel ashrecha v'atzachzu. Be happy with that. Before you've done the first thing, you've sat down by Gemara and the Rebbeinu Shlom is happy with you. Isn't that something to be happy about? And then he says, Ben Yakir, my dear child, Efshe tefached loima, I know you're scared, and you're saying inside, Hina toid na'ar rach v'toiv, you're still a young child, oyev l'sheviv mat, you like to be a bit mischievous, oyev l'sachakim norim, you like to play with kids. V'hinu bon elecha l'aseischa pamachtish zokin yoshev v'doimim, rachal yisusa. We're coming to rob you of your childhood. We're coming to make an old man out of you, sitting over, bent over a sefer. Oidai l'chav chol zeh. Says, ta'isa gam ta'isa, you're making a mistake. Na'ar kishnei sechat isha, I want you to stay a boy, to play with chaverim, and to be with them. Just to keep a goal in mind, that if you know how to play, and how to be mischievous, and believe and understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everything, including your playthings. And just like food and drink has a way to be done, that it's in tune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, so too playing with your friends is also that. Matara G'dayla Zulanu. I have this tremendous goal. Lo lichbay sashater derech Hashem lakarcha. Not to force you. Rak shegam ba'atzma tazbay. My goal is that you should want to get to the place that you should go to. And we're not just concerned about doing what's right. We want you to understand and to want to get there. That's the beginning of a sefer. To us it sounds modern. This was a revolution. And he was the first one, his name was a Kalman Klonimus, known as the Piyasatzna, and he opened the world with this Hanhaga and Adracha. For the first time, he was able to infuse a flame with the love, with the Ava, with the understanding that it's what's good for us, not what we have to do. It's with an understanding of what of the neshama of a child. Someone asked him, how did you make such a sefer? It's a pilladic sefer in terms of its direction, its understanding, its warmth. It's a pilladic sefer. And he said, when I wrote the sefer, there was a young man standing in front of me, and I was in his shoes. I wrote it with the neshama of the child, not with the adult who needs to push him into line. But that's how I wrote it. What did he wrote a few small chiburim. What was his own hisbonus like? What was his own sense of self like? What did he strive for? He wrote, there's a small contrast, Savaziris. I'll explain where it came from afterwards. But these are notes of feelings when Hargashas overtook him. Things, he wrote them out to express them, to end. He has in here extraordinary things. But this is when he became 40. So this is about 1930. He was born 1890, approximately 1889. And this is when he turns 40. Baruch Hashem, he says, I'm already 40 years old. And in another few months, I'll be in Ben Arboim Shleimim. And that's down already. I've peaked, and now I'm moving down. And he goes through a few things. I'm not going to read it all, but there's one thing that just stands out. Umar kabel alai lulmad yoise. What should I be makabel on myself? To learn more? Kimidumi? I don't think that I have a minute that's not used. Lisrachik mina taivus, to get away from taivus. Im ein yitzim ram oisi, if my yitzhar is not fooling me, then I think Baruch Hashem eini mishubet kokach taivu gufnis chas shalom. I really don't think I am so beholden to taivus. Uma chasli, what do I need? Poshet liyos Yehudi chasali, to be a yid. Doimani be'enai kitzuras odom mitzuyeres. I think of myself like a painting. Shakol boy, it's got everything. Gvanim and tzura. Rak achas chasera neshama chasera. But it's got no neshama. I have everything, but it's the throb inside, the life force, the bren is not there. Ribbono shel olam, seifa mavichol nela. Ribbono shel olam, who sees inside. The fanecha is vada, to you I can open up and be misvadim, fanecha is chanin, you I can beg. Mushlach umerucha kanim imcho mikolichalecha hakmoit. I am so far from you. Pashat roitzani me'atal izgaya. I want to go gerus, lias ma'ata Yehudi, and to be a yid. Ribbono shel olam, hoy she'eni shalevala sheirus shnoisai, help me that I don't spend the rest of my years ben chamoiri asoini v'kalbi, between my donkey and my dog. Krav oisei alecha, bring me close to you, achmeseini heichol v'mehechol, kshoir oisei alecha lo'ilam v'ed, That was the heart neshama of the person whose heart neshama infused blood into a dar in Europe that was turning its back towards everything that was Kodesh. Has it say, Moshe Rabbeinu Akiva, you know, Hareini Torascha, Hareini Schari. Where did it go to? What happened? In 1940, he was in Warsaw, and the war started, and and the first things the Germans did in Warsaw was, they bombed Warsaw. And just they bombed it to conquer it, and to kill people. That was not an unimportant side thing. Killing was a good German sport, and they killed and they bombed randomly. He had, for all his efforts, he had one son, a Ben Yachid, who was about 30 at the time, a Kaddish Elyon, a child of his. The child was injured severely in the bombing. This child, I mean, it was a son, he was 30 years old. And they took him to the hospital. And his daughter-in-law went, he was mortally wounded, his daughter-in-law went to help him. And the Germans bombed the hospital and she was killed. One of the Rebbe's Talmidim went, those days, I mean, at that time, people had jewelry with them because if they needed ever to bribe anything, the only thing that was worth something was jewelry, was a diamond, whatever it was. And his Talmud had it, his daughter-in-law had it on her, and the Talmud ran to get it because, I mean, this was life or death. He ran to take it off the jewelry from her. A Nazi caught him and arrested him. This was Erev Sukkos. It was like the beginning days of it was somewhere between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. And the Rebbe just lost his daughter-in-law. I think his sister-in-law just passed away also. His son was laying mortally wounded. And someone who had tried to do something for him was in a Gestapo jail. The first thing the Rebbe did was he ran to the jail. And he pleaded with the Gestapo to lead to get Tzvachah out. That was inviting the worst to do something like that. But Pile Ploim, he did it. And the Rebbe got him out. That Sukkos for davening, it was in the ghetto already, they made a change. He refused to let the regular chazan, who was a young person, daven for the Yomet. And he had one of the Zikni Chassidim daven. And he said, because the young person is not going to be able to hold in his feelings, and it's Yom Tov. So the older one davened. When he came to Al-Kol Yiskadel, by Pekat Sefer Torah, he started crying, and the Rebbe was noisif and told him, Yom Tov. The next day, his son was Nifta. And again, he held himself in till after Yom Tov. If we have a picture of what it means, Masreka Shel Barzel, Rebbe Akiva being dismembered, taken apart, that's a dugma for us. Lost his wife, lost his daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, his child. It wasn't a child, it was a Ben Yachid. Whatever revolution the Rebbe had made in his years, his hope was it would continue and that his son would take it over. His son had been deathly ill 4 years before and he came through with Nisim. And the Rebbe sat for another 4 years in the ghetto, less than 4 years in the ghetto, Warsaw ghetto until it was liquidated. And then he ended up in Treblinka and he went up HaKiddush Hashem. He wrote Torah during those years, the ghetto years. He wrote 3 years, Tavshin, Tavshin Aleph, and Tavshin Beis, the things that he said on different occasions. They were put out, they were found miraculously many years later. He put them in a bottle together with other ksavim, and he wrote a note. If anyone finds it, he should please either give it over to the Warsaw rabbinate, or to him if he's zeicher to be alive, or to a brother that he had in Arzol, Snifter, also right afterwards. And he wrote it, and they called it, I don't think it had a name, they called it Eish Kodesh. And if, let's learn 2 or 3 pieces. We look, Baruch Shem Tei Zador, we're very infatuated with Das Torah. For every little narishkeit is Das Torah. Das Torah of Rabbi Akiva, of Chol Nafshecha. Where is there a Torah? Where is the Torah of somebody who is a Kedosh Elyon, who is sitting and watching the world disintegrate? Let's learn 2 or 3 pieces of Nekudas, just the Nekudas, obviously. First thing he describes, the Nekuda of the heart, this is an early shmuz of his. He says, Ubo ho'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'anidochim be'eretz Mitzrayim. So he's bothered by the stira of Ovid Nidach. He says, a Nidach is someone that's in a different place, but you can still see him. Ovid, Mashenkin Ovid who? Shene'evad, Loinira v'loinikar. He's somebody that's so lost, you can't even tell that he's there. It's like you pound something to pulp and you can't even notice it's so mixed in with something else. When the tzoros come so strongly, they shave off the beards. You don't even have a heck of tzura v'yit. And from these terrible yisurim that I can't even describe, you can't even tell that the yidden inside. The person lost himself. A person sees himself. It's not me. It's not. These are not feelings that I've had. It is not me. He can't recognize himself. How did it feel like a year ago Shabbos? It's all smashed, broken, pulverized. He doesn't know, is he Jewish? Is he Yid? Is he Adam? Is he Behema? So that's a description of what it was like there. On the first yard side of his child, on Beis Sukkos, he also spoke. How does he understand it? Somebody was there, a Rebbe, the Rebbe Kiva of our Dor Mezes Nefesh, spoke on the first yard site. He's medayik about how come Nisach HaMayim, which is Chesed, starts with Shpiz of Yitzchak, which is Gevura. So he says, HaKedah Loi Nisoyin LeYitzchak Levad Haisa. The Akeda of Yitzchak was not limited to Yitzchak. Adrabi said, Yitzchak himself was Kaveh the Machshava of the Akeda, because nobody would be able to have the purity of Machshava of Avram and Yitzchak with the Akeda. The Lemaisa of the Akeda is going to be Tashlum Akedas Yitzchak, he. Shesham hoisas cholas machshavas v'ratzin. Elokei Yitzchak was the sheiresh. He put down the clarity of das of Mesiras Nefesh. V'kan hasiyum v'apeula. Hayna shakeda v'chola nerogim neisal acharkach meise echad heim. Akeda starts with Yitzchak, and stretch the chola deiris. They are the embodiment of the akeda. Lachin rak le'osid. Can we say that Yitzchak? V'zeh remes achad v'orim ha'elav v'lekin says Avram. It's after the parsha. In other words, v'lekin says Avram, there's an achad v'orim ha'elav. And he puts it in perspective of puts it in perspective of Yitzchak and the Akedah. There's also, I don't have the ability to read it. It's in that Kuntav Zeris, he spills his heart out on his Ptira. And same point, he goes through it. His own Averis and this, it's something that's, you're putting yourself in this neshama when you read it. Finally, he has a piece, this is Parshas HaChodesh of the last pieces that were printed. Parshas HaChodesh. He says, he brings out the Chazal. It's the Gemara Chagiga says a stira between whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries or not. It says, Oiz v'ched m'koymoy, and so on. So it says, there's a difference between Bote Broi and Bote Gavoy. And the outer palaces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. It's Simcha always, and in the inner homes, in the inner chambers, it's crying. V'yesh, sha'ish atzmoy, tamal atzmoy. A person sometimes wonders, and it's very hard not to read that he's talking to himself, Halei nishba, I'm broken. I'm almost always crying. And a lot of times I just break out crying. How can I learn Torah? How am I can I bring it into me to mechadish Torah Chassidus? And sometimes he feels bad. Is it maybe it's a hard heartedness that I can sit and I can say Torah and I can learn, and maybe it's an insensitivity. It's maybe it's a callousness on my part. And then he answers himself, "Alei nishbani, umar rabu chesed." Look at myself. I'm so broken. He really is lost. I don't know. I don't know what to make of myself. I'm broken. I'm devastated. Should I go on life? Should I not go on life? Terrible. Aval kanal hu yisbarach nintza bebotei gavoye veboiche. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place. There's a makom in botei gavoye, in the inner chambers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also boiche. Umi shedoichek v'neskarev ilo b'toyra. And a person pushes his way in through Toyra. Oz boiche hu shom im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also cries. But he's crying together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam loy me Torah imoy. He cries and learns Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh chiluk. That's the difference. Ha'pchiyas v'atzash odom mitztayim me'atzmoy. Levad al tzareisa. When you cry alone, and you live in your own tzar, yesh anish v'av neiflem atshin yochal asmuma. Yeah. You become crushed and you can't do anything. But v'abchiyas sh'boicham HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachat. The pchiyas that a person cries with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechazkim, I say, strengthen him. Boyche u'mischazik. Nishar mis'amitz l'umot v'lavit. Koshu rak l'sroim in pam rishayne v'ashem ha'tzores. It's difficult the first and second time. Al k'shem mis'amitz u'moshe d'sroishay, when he pushes and sticks his head in, v'noigir b'tar v'avoyde, oz nichas v'ol abote g'avoy sham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sham boyche u'myal imoy k'aviyochu yachat. The only person that could have written it, the only person that could write words like that, is someone that was there, and someone that's that madrega. No one else has the right to write such words. No one else, it's meaningless. Here we have somebody that was there in the Gehenim, and there's a Torah that's written with the Eish of Gehenim on it, on the Eish of Kedusha. There's a in line. There's a credible story here. He did a lot to help whoever he thought was the high risk. If he had some means to help him escape, he got him. He was able to. So he tried to get him out. Like there was one bachur in the yeshiva that he deemed him high risk for whatever reason, and he got him a visa to get out. I'm not sure to where, but whatever. And the bachur came to say goodbye to his rebbe. And he was sobbing, crying, and shaking. And the Rebbe tells him, "Nachazoyful yu akenin, azakalte gezegenin. After so many years that we know each other, such a cold goodbye? Zug a Wort mit so gesegene Warm. Say a word so that we depart with some with a warm departure. Incredible. When you expend feelings as feelings, they come and they go. Happiness and sadness, and fright and comfort, they come and they go. It's cold because it cools. But when you embody something, when you embody a hagosha in the Dvar Torah, when you embody gavoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you embody your bechir in the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's nitzchias. That's a warm gesegnis. I want to hear a sequel. What happened? Where did it go to? He put his ksavim, including in the Kavis HaTalmidim, was his first sefer that he had written, that was published by Chayev and so on. He wrote one or two more hadrocha for younger light, Hashas Avreichim. He wrote Tzav Vezareis, which is an outpouring of his hagoshes of Kedusha and Tfilis and Isbainis. It's a sefer that, for anyone who has some zik of chiyus in his life, it's almost like being hooked up to a heart-lung machine. We have such a hard time with hagoshes that we can't do it. And when you read his Tzav Vezareis in different situations, losing his son, becoming older, a struggle to horror, all sorts of hagoshes that he felt he needed to express. Your heart throbs with it. It's written with a risk of the kedusha that's really, really, it's almost impossible not to be moved by it. So he packed up his ksavim, put it in a bottle, and he found it miraculously afterwards. But I have a gush about the matzah and the situation. It says on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol used to be chaytan the gecholim. When he went to bring the keteris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would look for embers on the Mizbeach. And it was hoytze asamu kolois apnimius. He needed embers that were very, very burnt out. In other words, the embers that started as bones and meat, and they needed to be completely charred, completely charcoaled to be used. So he would shift and shift to find out the mukolos apnimius, and on that we'd be mala de k'tiris. K'tiris is the thing that is it's in the panemius of Klal Yisrael, of Davida. It's in a certain sense the highest Davida. Ramban, he wants to point an example, he says, what about Keteris? And it reaches out the furthest. It says the Reach of the Keteris, the Kedi used to be Misa'atesh from it, in Yericho. It was something which reached the furthest. It says the Reach Shmonecha, the Reach of the Toiv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what attracted people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Reach HaToiv is something that attracts from far away. But there's a tonight, if you take embers that are still have some flesh on it, the Reach is not a good Reach. It's the Mukolos HaPnimius. The embers that are very deep in the pile and are completely burnt, completely charred, that they produce that they produce clean fire, pure fire, that the keteris on it goes. He's safer, more than a safer. I, as a young boy, and I wasn't the only one. Many of my door, I don't know to this door, but my door. I remember picking up the sefer as a young boy. It must have been 14 or something that was laying around. The name intrigued me, that somebody was sort of writing Hadrocha for Talmidim. And I was mesmerized. It was the first time that I felt what Kedusha is what an Eish is. Eish tomit tukach al mizbeach, tukach al mizbeach lo yisichbe. A burning neshama of warmth. I could feel the Rebbe put his arms around me and say, you, Ashvecha, you've got so much going for you. Let's go with it. The words haven't lost the mukolis apnimis means somebody that had nothing left but the fire. Everything was taken away from him. Masreika Shabazel, his father, his father-in-law, his wife, his mother-in-law, all his Ben Yochid, his world, his chassidus, everything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a Kohen. It says Mar Sanhedrin. Vikuli Truma. His brain of Kohen. The Kohen took. The Kohen Gadol took from those Mukolas Apnimis. From there where there was nothing left but an Eish Kodesh. It's astounding. In a place, somebody who comes from a very different world that's not Poland, not Warsaw, was miyasid and drew and is drawing hundreds of people to a panimius and avoida and to regesh and avoida and to kedusha, and he sees himself as a talmid because his neshama was affected by it. It's not the safer only; it's the idea. We today take it for granted, this sort of modern psychology. It's not modern psychology, it came from the Pnei Lifnim. That idea stayed. It's not despite that the embers were burnt, it's because the embers were burnt. It's because it's a mukolis panimius. When you have nothing, you learn the sefer, you can't move because the Rebbe didn't do this in the afternoon. You know, if to publish it, this was written with the Dhamma Tamsis of his neshama. This was written with somebody who has nothing but the Ribbono Shel Olam, when the only thing that keeps him going is that he sits in the Batei Gavoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baicha. And it's Baicha with him on what happened to Kol Yisrael. And to get it, they write the Sefer Chavrusa. That's the Torah. And it's not the words only, it's the neshama Shabbai. We started and we spoke in the beginning about what it's like. I keep thinking about it. Two more agashas about the Indian. One thing is, I keep thinking, the Rebbe was 55 in 1945 when he died, when he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. If he would have lived another 30 years, another 25 years, it would have been 80. I remember vaguely, and I was just a younger teenager in the 60s, when the world turned upside down. And in many ways, the world was destroyed in Ruchnias in the 60s. And the only understanding we had was, this is terrible. The young people are terrible people. They're destroying everything with their shittas, with their passion, with everything. But if we would have had somebody who had the seichel understanding where the toiv is, these were powerful forces. The 60s changed the world. Unfortunately, very much for the bad. But there's no denying the force, and there's no koyach in the world that's not toiv. And if we would have had somebody who could take a person and inflame him with that same inspiration, would Kleisel not look extraordinarily different? If somebody could take that same fire and use it for toiv and understand where to channel it and so on. That's something that I keep thinking that we lost it. And one more final hagasha before we say that the kinna. It's the third year that we're talking about. We're taking one demus and discuss it. The first year was Reb Daniel from Kelm. Second year was Reb Chaim Oizer. Third year is Reb Kalman Klunimus, the Psiyasatsna. It's incredible. Three worlds that are different. Three worlds, and each one a huge world. Arzei halavonim. Each eres is an eres. Each eres, when you have an eres, an empty field, it evokes tremendous admiration. It's big, it's regal, it's huge. But there was a forest of it. The three worlds are so different that we've tried to get some sense for, and each world was a huge world, a world of godless, a world of beauty, a world that's almost incomprehensible to us, and this was in this was all in Europe, this was all in Poland, Lithuania, and a place the size of it, and so many worlds. Ours in Lebanon, we had such a huge inyan and such a forest of it. And yes, you can't, if you speak about everybody together, you lose it. And that's why we try to focus on one person. But just to gain appreciation, it's the third year already, and we've touched on not three Rosh Hashivas, not three Rebbes, not three Rabbanim. We've touched on three worlds that each one himself is a huge world. And together, this was the magnificent forest that was called Yisrael B'Shaitah.